makes the catch at the 30, the 20, the 10, 5, rock and roll, touchdown, Texans!
Hello, and welcome to the HoustonTexans.com podcast.
Thanks, Mark. Hi, Texans fans. Thanks for joining us. I'm Brooke Bentley with Texans Today. It's Wednesday, October 15th, and every Wednesday we let you listen to what the opposing coach and an opposing player is saying about playing the Texans on Sunday. Today, we are minus a player, because Roy Williams was traded from the Lions to the Cowboys. So we'll hear from Detroit head coach Rod Marinelli.
Well, you know, we thought it was really a win-win for both parties, with Roy and for us. We had to pick up a first, a third, and a sixth, turn to a fifth. We thought it was a great deal, and it's a great deal for Roy, being from, obviously, Texas. And so it was a win-win, and it was one area we felt we had some depth at receiver. So I think we helped ourselves in the future, and I don't think we hurt ourselves too bad. You know, Roy's a great football player, obviously.
What about with Kitna losing him for the season?
Well, you know, Dan had a chance. He's a good young player. He had a really good, I should say, he got a solid outing. He, you know, he didn't turn it over, but we got to clean some things up with him. He's kind of a gym rat. He really likes football. He's around it. He's been preparing now for quite a while, 4 years.
Well,
getting his opportunity.
Rod, what was it like for you to go? You were there, Buccaneers turned it around after all those years of losing, and then you had the euphoria of consistent winning. And then,
yeah.
What's it like to go to Detroit and try to do the same thing there?
Well, the word is what you said, it's consistent. You just understand that, and you just got to be consistent and stay the course, and nothing affects you. You just keep moving forward, keep practicing football, and doing things right.
How do you turn around the negativity that persists outside for a team that struggled like the Lions have for so long?
I think the key, you know, these pity parties everybody wants for you. And I think one of the key things is keeping it out of this building. And that starts with me being consistent and positive, upbeat, and showing great belief in this team. And then you just got to keep drafting, and you keep them in pads, and you keep working on fundamentals. And that's everything I've ever been around turnaround programs is that. Stay the course, be consistent.
How much did you learn from Tony after the way he handled losing, turning losing into winning, and the way he handled all that?
Oh, it's just a lot. You know, just he's a great football coach, and a lot of it, what we did there is the same thing where I'm trying to do here, and I'll be trying to do in Chicago. I have done in Chicago, and I'm down to Kansas, and Mike Tomlin, and Pittsburgh. You know, just stay the course. We have a certain values and certain beliefs that I won't change. How we do business, how we prepare, and how we teach. And you just find guys that fit that mold and just go straight ahead.
Rob, can you talk about Orlovsky a little bit, what you like about him, what his strengths and weaknesses are? We haven't seen him much.
You know, he's really a bright guy. Very, very intelligent. He's probably one of the things, he's kind of like a gym rat. He's always around here. Upbeat guy. He's a big man. You know, big guy. Got a pretty quick arm. Decent mobility. But he's got a pretty good gun to him. And he studies a lot. And I think he's got a nice toughness to him. And we've got the other young kid with Drew Stanton also.
How tough is it to change quarterbacks in the middle of the season?
Well, I think any time a starter goes down, you know, but this part of this league is all about being resilient. And to me, it's the team, the people that can stay resilient, put things behind them immediately, and then move on to the next task. Because nobody in this league feels sorry for anybody. And so you just move on.
Do you expect Dan to be 100% better this week than he was in his first start?
I think, you know, when you do something the first time and then you watch it, I think you make great strides the second time you're out. You know, that's usually the norm. And the way he works at things and prepares, I'm expecting him to make a good step.
I know you got some great draft picks from Dallas, but how much are you going to miss Roy the rest of this year?
Oh, I mean, Roy's a great player. I mean, there's, you know, nobody gives up the first and the third for a guy like that. And that's why it's a win-win for both sides. But Roy is a dynamite football player. All of you'll see that when he's down in Dallas. But it hurts you, no doubt about it. But if there was one area that we had some depth and strength, I thought it was a receiving core.
I mean, obviously, he's a talented receiver. Was he a leader for you as far as being a receiver with your younger guys like Calvin?
You know, I think one thing Roy does, he comes out and works every day. And I think guys would have a chance to see his work ethic and his passion. And so that rubbed off on these other young guys.
Can you give us a little background on the trade? Were you looking, you know, to make a deal for some draft choices? The Cowboys come to you asking for him? How
you know,
it started?
Our GM did most of it, but we weren't shopping. But they had called us. I don't know if I'm getting it all right. I hate to tell you something I'm not perfectly clear on. But then they just started talking and made a last-minute deal. We kind of went on from Monday night, sometime Monday afternoon, all the way to the deadline.
So he wasn't a guy you were looking to move or anything then?
No. Martin had talked to him, and he was willing to listen to anybody that had anything to offer. And they offered. It was a great deal for both sides.
Coach, can you talk about what you've seen from Matt Schaub?
You know, I remember when he was down in Atlanta for a little bit, too. But I think he is really a heck of a quarterback and smart. And, boy, he gets the ball out on time, I think. And he steps up in the pocket as well. And some of those guys, those good, tough veteran guys, know how to buy their own time. He does a great job of that. But he looks like he's a real deal there for him.
Now, these guys, for the first month, it seemed like everything went wrong down here, too. You know, they had the hurricane, everything on the road, that kind of stuff, lost some tough games. I'm sure you can relate to that. But
sure.
How do you convince a team they can win?
Well, I was talking about our situation here. I'm sorry. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I mean, you can relate that, obviously.
You just stay consistent as a coach. The worst thing you want to do is go up and down. You know, and then something good happens, you're elated. Something bad happens, you go on a tank. I think players need to see them come into an environment where it's consistent, it's the same. There's a belief on what you're doing and how you're doing things, and you stay firm to that. And then I think the team believes, and then it's about practice and football. And just keep coming out and doing the same thing, and try to string as many good practices together as you can. And one thing, we're a very good practicing team. We just got to take it all to the game.
Have the losses taken a toll on you?
No.
Coach, without the presence of Roy Williams, do you think that, I mean, does anything change as far as trying to get Calvin Johnson involved?
Well, you know, both those guys have been obviously big targets for us. But no, he's our go-to guy, no doubt about that. And but I think we've got some other good receivers with them, Furry and Mac. But he's been a heck of a big-time threat down the field for us. So we got to keep going to him. We got to run the ball a little bit, and hopefully that will work out for us.
What's your overall impression of the Texans? They played some exciting games, and they're probably better than 1-14.
No question. Oh, I'm telling you, that's a good football team. Number 80 is, man, he's lights out. And I really like, I'll tell you, that young left tackle, Brown, 70.
Dwayne Brown, yeah.
Or 76. He is, boy, is he athletic. And I know he fits that system. He comes off the ball really well. And, you know, it's such a well-coached, you know, Alex Gibbs is best in the world, right, on the zone scheme and all those things. And they know what they're doing. They don't turn people loose. Got a heck of a good, tough quarterback. And then, boy, you look over on defense with, you know, 90 and 91 and 99 in there and 98. I mean, and 59, those are really good young football players playing really hard. So they got, a great-looking future ahead of them, and they're playing extremely well. They line up, play well and hard every week.
Well, Dante Robinson's coming back this week, probably in a limited role, but how much can he help a defensive cornerback like that?
I couldn't hear the first part of your question.
Dante Robinson will be back and probably play a part-time role this week. How much can he lift a defense, a guy like that?
No question. Your best players get back into the lineup, and I think it just solidifies everything you do, especially as a coordinator when you make your calls and you got some veterans in there. So I think it's a big plus.
Coach, can you talk about Steve Slayton and what you've seen on tape? You know, it's been able to make him effective.
You know, as you defend that offense, that zone scheme, you can see it's repped and repped and repped over and over and over and over. And they know exactly what they're doing. I think that's a comfort zone for a back, because he knows right now where his reads are and his cuts are. But he does to me. He hits it downfield, boy. There's not a lot of dancing in the hole. He makes a step, a plant, and he gets going north and south. He runs hard, and that's a good young back.
All you Texans.